Hello, my name is Jacob Fenston. Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In recent years, emerging markets and developing countries have proven remarkably resilient in the face of economic slumps, from the Asian crisis at the end of the 90s to the more recent financial meltdown of 2008. They've bounced back from downturns and even grown their economies. What are the reasons behind this improved performance? Abdul Abiad has traced the roots of many of these success stories. Speaking to Lika Gay, he identified some of the common factors.
Our research looked at how these economies did over the past six decades. We looked at a sample of more than 100 emerging and developing economies, and we looked at how quickly they would bounce back, for example, from downturns. What we found was that in the 1950s and 60s, many of these economies did pretty well. After a downturn or a contraction in their economy, typically they got back to the level of output they had before the downturn within 4 years. The 1970s and 80s, in contrast, were terrible decades for these economies. Even 10 years after the downturn, these economies did not get back to their previous level of output. And in fact, oftentimes they were way below their previous level of output. Things began turning around in the 1990s for some emerging markets. And for low-income countries, the big turnaround was really evident in the 2000s. What you saw in the last two decades was that these economies were bouncing back faster. They would get back to their previous level of output following a downturn in about 3 or 4 years, and in the last decade, even in 2 years. And even through the global financial crisis, which was in some ways the largest external shock to hit these economies over the past half century, even there, they bounced back pretty quickly. So the question is, what are the factors behind that, and can we expect that to continue?
Well, speaking about factors, what are the causes of this resiliency? To what extent is it due to good policies rather than sort of structural factors that are inherent to those economies?
Mm-hmm. We looked at a number of factors that could explain this. So one possibility, as you mentioned, is that these economies have become better at policymaking. Another possibility is that maybe the shocks that have been hitting them have become less severe or less frequent. And a third possibility is that the structure of these economies has changed and made them more resilient. And what we found in our research is that, a bit to our surprise actually, good policymaking accounted for the bulk, about three-fifths of their improved performance. And fewer and less severe shocks accounted for the remainder, about two-fifths of the improved performance. And let me just elaborate a bit more about that. So what you see in these economies is that, simply put, many of them have become better at policymaking. Let me give a few examples. Many of these economies have adopted inflation targeting. In other words, the central bank now actually targets inflation and changes interest rates to keep inflation low. Many of them have also adopted more flexible exchange rate regimes, so that acts as a shock absorber. One important change that we've seen over the past decade is that many of these emerging and developing economies have become more counter-cyclical. And what economists mean by that is that when the economy is weak, then policies try to stimulate it. So the governments increase spending or cut interest rates to boost economic activity. And when the economy is overheating or there's too much economic activity, policymakers try to rein that in by increasing interest rates or decreasing government spending. That's been a change from how it was in the past decades. And so these kinds of improvements have definitely helped. Another thing that's important is that they've been able to build room for maneuver. And what we mean by that is that they've been able to keep inflation low. And so when they do get hit by a shock, the central bank has room to cut interest rates without worrying about inflation. Similarly, many of these countries no longer run the large fiscal deficits that they had been running in the past. And so under adverse circumstances, they were able to increase spending to boost economic activity. It's also been the case that they've been a bit lucky in that they've been experiencing fewer shocks.
Can you give us an example of any countries that come to your mind as having done particularly well and how they've done it?
Take the economies in Southeast Asia, for example. Many of these economies have adopted inflation targeting. And if you look at their inflation rates now relative to where they were let's say, in the 1980s and 1990s, they're consistently in the single digits. In fact, oftentimes in the low single digits. Same thing if you also look at their fiscal balances. They don't run large deficits anymore. And they've also put in place external buffers, things like they've increased their reserve levels so that they're no longer susceptible to things like, you know, money flowing out. When people withdraw money, they have enough reserves to cover that. Turning to low-income countries, Kenya and Tanzania. And there, again, many of the improvements I described have also been put in place. They've been more prudent in terms of their government spending. Inflation has come down. And policy has just become more responsive to deteriorating conditions. So taking Kenya as an example, things would have been much worse during the global financial crisis, but the Kenyan Central Bank cut interest rates and basically supported economic activity, and that prevented them from having a contraction in the economy.
Speaking of what governments can do, what policies can emerging markets implement to safeguard this resiliency that they have been experiencing?
One of our key recommendations is that these economies should rebuild these policy buffers. In other words, make sure that inflation is under control, and so that central banks have room to ease interest rates, and similarly bring fiscal deficits back down to where they were prior to the global financial crisis so that they have room to increase spending in case the global economy takes another turn for the worse.
And finally, what are the prospects for emerging market resiliency?
In our forecast, we still see emerging and developing economies continuing to grow strongly in the coming years. But there are risks around this. And in particular, there are risks to growth in the advanced economies. So Europe is having problems now, in particular, because their fiscal balances and their public debt are pretty high. And so if the crisis in Europe worsens, that can create another shock similar to what we saw in 2008 and 2009. There are also some concerns about the U.S. In particular, there's the prospect that fiscal policy will tighten substantially. In other words, that taxes will increase sharply and spending will be cut sharply at the end of 2012 if there's no action by Congress. This is what's referred to as the fiscal cliff in the U.S. And basically, we hope that the U.S. can avoid falling off that fiscal cliff. But if not, again, the U.S. may have another downturn, and that would have implications for emerging and developing economies. But if we can avoid those two shocks, emerging and developing economies are in good shape. And plus, they still have a lot of policy room for maneuver. And one important thing is that they should maintain the policy improvements that they've put in place over the past decade or two. And under those conditions, we should expect emerging and developing economies to be able to continue growing strongly as they have in the past decade.
That was the IMF's Abdul Abiad speaking to Lika Gay on the reason for the increasing resilience of many emerging markets and developing countries. To hear more podcasts on the global economy and finance, log on to www.imf.org/podcast.